Hi, good evening. This is Deborah Herman, your host, and you are listening to Soul Odyssey Radio. Each week we talk about the process of your soul's growth. We talk about the seven lessons of Soul Odyssey, and sometimes we add a topic that will help us to talk further about some of the details of what this all means in the bigger picture. And as we've been doing for the last several weeks, we have been also opening it up to your live call-in phone calls, and I've been drawing cards from the Soul Odyssey deck and giving you free readings so that we can get a sense of where you are. We can have my people talk to your people and your guides and my guides, and we'll see what Spirit has to say to you about your soul's growth, your spiritual path, and where you may be headed, particularly during these times of great change and ascension, which is what we're facing in the next 12 to 16 months. And so the phone number is 888-815-9756, and you are welcome to call in, and I will draw a card for you. It's been a lot of fun, and we learn a lot about each other, and also about the card deck. And I learn every single time I see new interpretations. And the topic for this evening is: can our thoughts change what is happening in the world? And I had a very interesting experience, because I like to prepare for the show sometimes by just presenting a question. And I present it to Spirit, and I present it to my higher self, and I also like to sometimes present it to the internet, because the internet is this wonderful oracle of all knowingness. And I found many interesting things by simply saying, by typing in, can our thoughts change the course of our world? Something to that effect. I don't know exactly what I typed in, but I got a lot of interesting results. And so I want to share some of that with you, and I also welcome your comments and your questions. And let's see if we can figure out some of this together. Because I know it's very easy, particularly with what's happening in Japan, to focus on doom and gloom and to focus on some of the apocalyptic visions of what's going to be happening in the year 2012, the things that are happening just day to day. And I am not suggesting that we withdraw and ignore what is happening around us, but for those of us who are not becoming directly involved with actually giving relief effort to the people in Japan, donating money, working on finding alternatives to some of the energy resources. If you're not directly involved in some of these things, your energy and your thoughts can be perhaps better directed toward your life, your path, and changing the vibration of everything around you, rather than sitting in a corner in the dark saying, oh, woe is me. This world is, going to, where in a handbasket. The more we get into a state of fear, the more we are actually adding and contributing to the problem. It doesn't help if we're sitting, on our little bar stools complaining about the government, complaining about this person done me wrong, and that person is this, and that person is that. It's good to have a dialogue, but if you're not a person who is directly going to be involved in that dialogue or making some of these changes, then you are best spending your energy focusing on creating a positive thought framework for the world, because I found a very interesting article. There is a book out now by an author named Sabana Arienta, and it's a recent book. I know nothing about this woman. I found it on my internet search. I do plan to seek her out, perhaps invite her on the show. But she has a book out now called Lightworker, The Unique Souls Who Have Come to Heal the Planet. Many of you who find yourself on a very overt spiritual path would very likely be lightworkers. And according to her book, you are people who have come to this world at this time to do certain things and to help to raise the vibration into a more positive state, because all of the negativity, all of the fear, all of the doubt is literally helping to destroy our world and is creating a spiritual and vibrational backlash. It's very tangible and it's scientifically supported. So what I thought was interesting in her book, and she actually defines lightworkers, and I haven't read the book, I've just read this article, and it was really somewhat of a news release. She explains that lightworkers aren't all great spiritual gurus or even political leaders, and as we've discussed in talking about the seven lessons, some of you are going to go on and do things that are visible. But some of you are changing the world just by raising your own vibration. And I don't know if one of my new friends is listening, but recently I had a conversation with someone about how it may be just as important to your spiritual path and to the vibration of those around you for you to be working on your personal relationships. It doesn't mean that every person who is on a spiritual path has to become a guru, has to become a leader, has to be, you know, necessarily doing, I mean, it's great if you can do healing work and energy work with other people. That's a wonderful way to bring positive vibration and to share what it is that you know. But sometimes you're also needing to work on your own space and your own life. So I like that she says that lightworkers can be musicians or artists or shopkeepers or accountants or stay-at-home moms or even the homeless. And many of you know that you should always pay attention to what society would consider the least of us, because they can certainly be angels in disguise. And lightworkers share their gifts by speaking out for those who have no voice. They create glorious works of art that beautify our planet, or they write music that elevate our spirit. They work unseen most often, or quite often, lending their light energy or just agreeing to walk among us. They are the healers of our planet. But I'm looking forward to seeing her book. Again, it's Lightworker, The Unique Souls Who Have Come to Heal the Planet. And what she also was talking about, and I've found it in several different sources, and you'll find it too, is that we all share a part in the collective energy field, and our thoughts have a great impact on the overall well-being of the planet. And therefore, one of the things that she was suggesting, and you may have even known about it or heard about it, is that we have particular days where we are focused on positive thoughts for particular reasons, and that many of us join our thoughts. And it's like having virtual prayer vigils. And I know that many people are doing this now for Japan, for the surrounding areas. And really, we must always keep in mind that we're doing this for the entire planet, because our vibrations are connected to the person next to us. And everything in this world has spirit, or as I would put it, as and other people would agree, has God in it. And so you are making a big change in our world by paying attention and being responsible for what it is that you're putting out into the universe. And many of you are aware of the work of Masaru Emoto. I don't know if I had already gone to my workshop when I did the show last week. I may have, but I had taken a workshop on the work that he's done with water. And I think it's also very relevant to the discussion tonight about whether or not our thoughts can change, literally change the world around us and can prevent some of the disasters that are happening. And so his actual experiments were originally freezing water to see what happens and what kinds of crystals it forms when it freezes, but seeing what happens to it when it's exposed to different types of stimulus, whether words, music, or actions. And he was able to see changes in the actual crystal development within the water as it froze. And, for example, he exposed the water to words like to loving words, and he saw beautiful crystals that formed. For example, the word thank you, it formed, and I've seen these photographs. They're absolutely amazing and wonderful to see. And so when exposed to the word thank you, and it was as easy as taping the word thank you onto a bottle of water and then freezing it, he was able to see a beautiful hexagonal shape. But when he exposed the water to the words, you fool, there were no crystals that formed, and the water that froze looked like a misshapen lump of ice. So his work is very, very phenomenal, and he illustrated in a very tangible way that the vibration of good words has a positive effect on our world, and the vibration from negative words has the power literally to destroy. And all you have to do is observe people on a highway to see, you know, examples of road rage and how we are when, particularly in the more densely populated environments, how we are toward one another. One of my callers last week was talking about how computers are causing us to be less human because we're not connecting with one another in a positive way. And all of these things really are affecting these are affecting the natural disasters that we're finding in our world. We can literally change some of these things by joining together and by changing our thoughts. You can't control other people. You can't control their thoughts and their emotions and what they put behind them, but you can change the way you see the world. And I want to remind you, because we really did have fun last week when I was pulling the cards out of the deck, that this is Life Call-In, and I am excited to hear your opinions about the subject and some of your experiences in dealing with thoughts and reaction and understanding the universe around us. And the number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I also came upon somebody's website that I think is really awesome. I'm going to do a little bit of research into it again. But I just love the internet. A woman, her name is Sharon Snier, S-N-I-R, and she's the founder and director of Triune Healing, and she published a book about the 12 levels of being in 2007, and she teaches this now throughout the world. And she also talks about how we often live our life imagining that what we do is not connected to anyone or anything. And we forget that we're made up of atoms. And those atoms create energy. By living this way, we perpetuate the illusion that we're separate. Our energy is part of the energy of everything else in the world and beyond. Every thought, word, and action vibrates its energy into the world and makes an impact. When we take responsibility for our impact, we can begin to live in true, and she spells it, calm and then unity with each other. And she goes on to say that scientific research shows that everything in the universe emits energy waves and that everything is connected. Science is able to measure the coherence of our thoughts and show scientifically that our thoughts affect each other. So as individuals and collectively, we have the power to heal not only ourselves, but also the world. We also know now that the heart is a strong source of electromagnetic energy. So we're just scratching the surface of this. We are power generators, every single individual. And right now, we are becoming way too fearful, and we're focusing on dark scenarios, and we're thinking about, gee, how do I prepare? It's very good to prepare if you want to, you know, if you want to make sure that you will have access to clean water. If you live close to a floodplain, you want to make sure either that you move away from the floodplain if it's been known to flood, or that you would be prepared in case of a flood. Those are things that are very grounded in the reality of what it's going to be like to live in a world that right now is going through birth pangs. And our world, as some people would call Gaia, our Mother Earth, is going through birth pangs. We are going through a change. I will probably have a guest on the show who's a geologist who's talking about how we're literally changing, you know, our Earth is changing its axis. So a lot of these things are happening geologically, but we're not separate from it. And if we're, you know, giving into all of this negative perspective about it and fear-based perspective about it, then we can create storms. We can create, you know, electromagnetic forces that can influence a negative result in our world. And so I found a very interesting site, but I'll have to get you the link, because this woman has a blog. I really like it, except she didn't mention her name. So talk about, you know, talk about humility. That's really humble. And I really like that, except I would have liked to be able to give her the attribution that she deserves for some of this very beautiful writing. And I know that she takes some of her concepts from A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is a channeled work that is the foundation of many of the wonderful teachings that many of our New Thought and spiritual general spiritual teachers in the last several decades have drawn upon. They've drawn upon that teaching as the basis of and foundation of their work. And it's very spiritual and very sound and very beautiful. Now, we've talked about the seven lessons. I'm going to mention them to you. We're not going to necessarily go in depth into them this evening, but they are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love. And the lesson of God-love, where many of us may experience a crisis of faith at different times along our path, is a very important lesson for this time and for this period where we're facing doubt, because the opposite of that is surrender to a full faith and belief that there is, whether you call it God, Goddess, higher power, that there's something greater than ourselves that gives us that unifying factor and divine connection between all living things. When we're able to fully surrender to that, we can rise above our own fear and above our own chaos. And what this writer wrote was really beautiful, and I've only taken a small snippet of it. But she says that forgiveness is only letting go of all judgments and attachments to this world and giving them to God so that he or she can correct and heal them and then return them to us pure and healed. When our thoughts are clean and clear, God can use us as a conduit and a channel to heal all the fearful minds and hearts in Japan and in our neighborhood and in our home. When our thoughts and hearts are pure and loving, God can use that energy to prevent devastation in the future. Because our fear brings chaos, our willingness to forgive brings healing. Our fear causes suffering and pain and scarcity. Our love is the channel for God's correction and his holy abundance. And again, I typically use the male, but please interpret that as you will. I think that's absolutely true and absolutely beautiful. A Course in Miracles teaches that we cannot change the world or others in the world. We can only change our minds about how we choose to see ourselves and others. And that is true forgiveness. You are also quiet out there. Do not be shy. I welcome your calls. We're sharing this journey together. We're sharing this soul odyssey. We are all connected, and we are changing from within, and we're learning the lessons together. The number is 888-815-9756. I am all ready to draw a card for you if you so desire. But I am saving some of my best research for last because one of my favorite authors has a great deal to say about this subject, and that is Doreen Virtue. She wrote an article for a magazine, and she called it Lightworkers. And I will share some of this with you. She says, prophecies of world doom have seemingly always existed. History tells us the belief that the end is near was prevalent right before the year 1000. And it seems that every generation that's alive, when the year hits a new century mark or a new millennium, is convinced that the end time prophecies apply to them. But the trouble is, if enough people believe this, their collective fears really do create many earthly problems. So I'm with Doreen Virtue on this. We need to be prepared, but we need to be sending out love and forgiveness. And if there's anything that we can do, we can consciously think about our seven lessons, to know what they are, to know what our vulnerabilities are, and then learn to consciously change our thinking with regard to these lessons. And as you learn to communicate with your higher self and your soul and continue your own spiritual evolution, you'll start to know instinctively when you're off balance and when you're in need of a tune-up. And that tune-up can come in the form of a prayer and changing your self-talk. You know, I gave a class the other day on this subject, and sometimes as I'm teaching, you know, of course, you learn what you say what you need to hear. And I came up with a little analogy for you that, and it's the same one that you see all the time, is that you have like a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder. Well, I don't like to think about the little devil, except as it's used to illustrate this point, that if we're in tune with our soul self and with our divine spark, then we can be in balance with this little angel self. And what it tells us is going to be our truth. It's going to keep us balanced. It's going to guide us. It's going to give us the right, you know, suggestions and guidance, all of this is guidance, because we're really here. We're not alone. We're not disconnected, but each one of us is responsible for our own spiritual path. The path is parallel. We're not on someone else's path. We're on our own path. And our little angel guide self is always trying to help us stay front and center and to not trip over things. And so we want to try to listen to that little voice. Now on your other shoulder is that funny looking little devil person. And make it funny looking. Don't envision it as anything really negative. And it's just the self-talk that plays at your vulnerabilities and your insecurities. If you're here to learn a self-love lesson, then if you are in circumstances that can test you or plague you or challenge you, that little devil on your shoulder is going to take that opportunity to whisper things in your ear like, you're not worthy of God's love, you're not good enough, you can never do this, you don't have spiritual talent, you're on the wrong path, you can never write a book if that's what you want to do, you're just a waste of space. That's how bad it can get. And your job is to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not listening to you, and to turn around and go back to that reconnection and change your thoughts and go into the positive and try to stay in the light so that you can avoid tripping and skipping and getting into the typically human areas of negative self-talk. And it's particularly important for those of you who would identify yourselves as light workers, and all of us on some level are light workers. Some of you are just maybe a little more awake to it. It's really important for you to be a little serious about this. I'm teaching about these seven lessons because I'm very serious about it. I truly believe that there are messages for you that are giving you a hint so that you're not just, as we have for millennia, that we're not just shooting in the dark, that there is a set of lessons or a cosmic curriculum that we can work on and that we can use to help guide us so that we can be more balanced and, create energy that will help the world around us. The more we progress, and it's not a progression in the sense of running a race with someone else. The more we become, as one of the writers was saying, a conduit and a channel for God and for God's love, so we can be better healers for the world around us. And we can make everything better so that we can avoid tragedies. So I have Stephanie from Kansas. How are you today?
Doing well. Been having lots of ups and downs.
Welcome to the world.
Uh-huh. Well, dealing with a lot of stuff. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. Something went beep.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I had it on speakerphone. I think that's going to work fine. Does that work?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, cool beans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to draw a card for you?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to draw two cards. The first one is the number 13, on my deck. And I almost have it set up where I'll be able to send those of you who call in, if you were to give me your email, I would be able to send you a copy of what the card actually looks like. I've almost got that set up. I'll have it set up probably by next week. And the second card is the number 7. So what the first card is let go. And I think I've spoken with you before, And I think, I don't know if we've done the cards before, but I think this is an ongoing theme. Am I correct?
Yes, my grandma recently died, and it was funny. I thought I was letting go, and I got this guy to go get acupuncture. I got it 3 days in a row this week. And, you know, the hardest thing to let go of wasn't really control. I kept thinking that was the issue, but the issue is, seems to be that I'm having a hard time letting go of the idea that there's a better way of doing things than what I'm doing.
But that's your nature. And that is what I always call the 2x4 on the head method. And that's the way some of us have to learn. But what the little angel on your left shoulder is trying to tell you is, look over here because I'm going to show you the easier way. And
to a certain point, and then
Look, you it's fine. You actually feel better to me. I know we've spoken before, and your energy feels better to me. You feel less intense, and so I think this is not only a suggestion; it's also an accolade. Because I think you have been letting go. And I think it's something for you to be aware of, because if you ever find yourself painted into a corner, always remember, this is your mantra, let go. Try to make sure that you're living in the present. This is a tough lesson for you. It's come up time and time again. But I think you're really, you feel lighter to me. So,
I definitely want, it's just been hard because once I feel like, I finally feel like I'm doing really well, but then I got upset because I thought, I should, the past thing, and then I went to an event, it was just a community dinner they have every week at school, and I just felt edgy, so I didn't sit with the people I wanted to sit with, I just sat alone, I thought, I'll wait till I feel better. And then walked in and talked to the guy in the kitchen who was really agitated and irritable and blah, blah, blah. And all I could think of was, oh, my God, I got to get out of here. And this felt agitated and irritable for hours. It wasn't his fault, but that's the issue that's been coming up a lot lately, too, is that being compassionate doesn't mean I have to carry around other people's crap, you know?
No, and you need to make sure, that you are staying in your own soul space. Okay, now let's look at what number 7 says for you.
Okay.
All righty. Aha! It is the God Love card. So, again, it's let go, let God. I think it's a nice combination. I think that can be the answer for you, is to consider. Let me reread what this one spiritual teacher said. And again, I have to get her name, and I'll get a link and I'll put it on my Facebook because I think it's really beautiful. But she says, I'll repeat it. She says, forgiveness is only letting go of all judgments and attachments to this world and giving them to God so he can correct and heal them and then return them to us pure and healed. When our thoughts are clean and clear, God can use us as a conduit and a channel to heal all the fearful minds and hearts, such as in Japan and in our neighborhood and in our home. When our thoughts and hearts are pure and loving, God can use that energy to prevent devastation in the future. And it talks about forgiveness and letting go of judgment and attachment. And I think those are things that you continually struggle with. You know, around.
Yeah, and I've experienced this of totally letting go and feeling that and expressing that and letting it go, and it felt so good. And when I did that, it actually changed. It's like I woke up and sent love to all these people in my building, including this guy who's my friend I've seen off and on. And it's like, when I changed, bam, it's like,
Thank you, Stephanie, because that's exactly the lesson of this evening, is that all it does is you change your thoughts, you get into center with God, and you change everything around you. And that is exactly the message of this evening, is that our thoughts and our little universe can change everything. It has impact because we're all vibration. And you've really, I'm so grateful that you called. It's a wonderful illustration of exactly what we're talking about. And you're not going to always stay there, because if we stayed only in bliss, then we wouldn't be able to, you know, I mean, you can be in a more methodical bliss, but every single day, you know, as opposed to the really high highs, every single day, just try to think about your thoughts and staying centered and staying in the present and letting go of the past. And for you, don't be so hard on yourself, because you can't possibly be in that state every single day. You wouldn't be. That's just not realistic, and it's not human. And then there's a back and a front to everything, and that's such a big front that there would be a back. So, you know, stay balanced with it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, balance is, you know, I feel like I'm balanced. I feel like a new one's coming up, and I've really, the last few weeks, I've been really turned around, and it started before my grandma died, but I think I was really being prepared for that, and then bam-o, you know.
Well, I'm very sorry for your loss, you understand that life continues, and that nothing really dies, and that no one really dies. It's just that we're sad on this side. Was your grandma a cookie baking kind of grandma?
That was the one that died 4 years ago. The one that just died made ornaments. And that's the thing I've been grieving, and I finally let go, realized it last night. I've been, like, stuffing it for 3 weeks now. But why?
Because I'm associating the smell of gingerbread with her.
That's my mom's mom.
Pardon?
That was the one that died in 2006.
Huh. Well, I may have just gotten a little visit from her. Watch. You will have a visit. Just watch for it. They don't, right away, after someone passes, they don't always connect to us, because they have to adjust to where they are, but you will have a sign.
Yeah. Well, my grandma, the one that just died, the morning that she died, I woke up 2 hours at 4:30 in the morning, woke up, and for the first time in composing music, I started actually hearing it in my head, and then I saw the notes on the page. This is what it's going to look like, and I got to get up and do it now. For 2 hours, I just played and drummed and just wrote stuff, didn't write stuff down much. I wrote down a day or two later. And then I stopped at like 6:27. I found out later she died at 6:30. But
well,
it only happened, you know.
Well, you'll continue to have signs from her. I would say look for them in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. And please keep checking back with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you. The number again is 888-815-9756 for those of you who'd like to have your personal soul odyssey cards read. And let's see what the cards have in store for you. They do tell a story. And they do tell you the kinds of things to watch for if you're listening to one shoulder instead of the other shoulder. It's all a way for you to stay in balance and for you to create an energy that then changes the energy of all of those around you. So Doreen Virtue, again, who I think is wonderful, she says, she talks about how the issue of forgiveness, she actually talks about it as something that we need, which is to release the world of unforgiveness, that we are as a species relatively unforgiving, and that we can, you know, if you're an energy worker or a healer, that we can heal the earth in the same way as if we're healing a person, and that our energy and our psychic healing work takes similar steps. And she visualizes a giant, I think this is so cool, she visualizes a giant etheric vacuum tube, which she points down upon a city. And, you know, because, for example, she talks about how many of us, and I am certainly, this actually gets into the love of humanity lesson, many of us are fearful of crime and criminals. Now, of course, that's a very rational thing. Except, she explains, and I think this makes a lot of sense, that we should dislike the crime, but have forgiveness and compassion for the criminal, because it changes the whole vibration. And she says that, so she, because we, unforgiveness is a thought form where we divide the world into good guys and bad guys. And it gets us into the ego self where we are blaming outside forces for things. And we can spiritually heal the cause of the irresponsible behavior of those who are hurting the rainforest and other perpetrators against nature if we use forgiveness. It's like throwing a lot of love at someone who is sending you negativity. It diffuses it, and it changes the whole vibration. And so, as I started to say, she has a visualization where she has like this etheric vacuum, which she points down on a city, for example, and she asks the tube to find any darkness from fear or unforgiveness. And then she visualizes switching the vacuum to high, so it rapidly inhales all the darkness. She then sends that darkness to the light of God, where it's instantly purified and dispersed. And after the darkness is gone, she reverses the switch on the vacuum so that the white light from God comes out like toothpaste from a tube, and it blankets the city with love, peace, and complete security. And then she ends her visualization with a prayer of gratitude to God and his angels for the perfect health of that city. And she uses the same visualization upon centers of political power. You may want to do it on prisons or the rainforest or for right now for Japan. Visualize that you're literally taking away the fear and the pain and the agony of the people in Japan and the surrounding areas, giving them a sense of hope and a sense of connection to God and a sense of connection to light. And it gives a different vibration, and it can make a difference. Because what Doreen says, and I really like this, is because we are just individuals, individual humans. Now, we have the power of our thought and our vibration and our light and our love. These are the things that we do have. And we need to have faith that God has been speaking to those who are hurting the earth and to the criminals. And this actually falls under the tolerance lesson. Because under the tolerance lesson, we need to accept that people have a right to be wrong. And if someone wants what it is that we have, then that's wonderful. That's a blessing. and we can teach them and share with them and tell them, you know, this is the path that I take and this is, you know, this is helping me. But for the most part, if a person is shut down and is not interested, we need to turn that over to God, and we need to have faith that, you know, God and the angels can penetrate through layers upon layers upon layers. And we don't know if a person is going to have some kind of epiphany because, you know, because he or she is penetrated by that divine love and that divine energy. We can heal, according to Doreen, that the people who perpetuate the criminal behavior are on the verge of healing, and lightworkers' collective mindset of love can provide that little push necessary to awaken their minds. And she says that these people who are criminals or who take from the earth, on some level, their spiritual selves know that they're doing the wrong thing, and they may see themselves as unworthy of leading a happier, more productive life, and for being someone more in the light. And so we don't, as I said earlier, we don't need to forgive their actions, just the person who created the action. And it may mean, just for our own personal karma, it may mean that we have to be willing to forgive a, quote, bad guy from our own life. Because if we hold on to this unforgiveness, we project it onto new situations which remind us of past hurts. And anytime we have blockage like that, we can't be open conduits for this perfect and divine love. And this perfect and divine love is what will make the changes on our planet and will restore the balance and will allow the spirit of all living things to heal. So, and this is again, I wish Doreen were here because I'm quoting her so much. But she says, ask the angels to help you find love in your heart for those who perpetuate crimes upon the earth. This love will heal their fear-based behavior and help you truly experience the wonder of knowing that we are all one in God. And when she embarked on the Lightworker's Way, her intuition urged her to avoid negative conversations, negative television shows, and reading material. And she followed the guidance because she wanted to preserve the still fragile joy of rediscovering her spiritual self. So listen to your intuition. If you find it may be that you have to love from a distance with certain people in your life, or perhaps turn away from some of the headlines and some of the newscasts because they do sensationalize. See what your vibration tells you as you open to your divine love and to your higher self and to your soul's message, whether or not you can stand to be around certain kinds of vibrations, and be very stingy with your energy and be very protective of your energy and be very protective of your vibration. We might have time for one more caller, 888-815-9756. I know that that we have many listeners this evening. I'm grateful for having you as regular listeners. I hope that you are learning some things by tuning in to Soul Odyssey Radio. I welcome your questions, your comments, and for those of you who are from Facebook, I just want to remind you that Facebook has changed the way that we do things, and may make it a little more difficult for me to send you the notices of the different topics for the show each week. So make sure that even if you're not definitely able to listen, that you click on maybe attending, because then I can make sure to keep you on the invite list so that you can always know when we're on and what we're talking about. 888-815-9756. And I want to close the show with our focus on how miracles can happen. I know I've spoken somewhat about my wonderful time in Molokai in Hawaii over this past summer, and one of the stories that came out of that experience was that my friend, who was writing a book, had been married to a kahuna, which is like a shaman in the Hawaiian tradition. And he and his friends were able, through prayer, to literally change the course of the ocean to stop a cruise ship from coming onto the island. And now some people may say, well, they stopped, you know, all this revenue and all these jobs. But what had happened at the time is that the cruise ship had not done any environmental study. And if they were to just come aboard and drop anchor in this very, very, very undeveloped town, it would have had terrible environmental problems for the area. But the prayer wasn't to create harm, because the Hawaiian people believe in Ho'oponopono, which is a concept that things need to be pono, or balanced, between people. It's a very positive perspective, and it's very, very powerful. What they wanted was for their island to be protected. And so they didn't want the ship to sink or anybody to get hurt. What they did, and all of the people on the dock were in prayer, and Bill Kapuni, the kahuna, also, you know, he knew how, through his study and his skill, he knew how to harness the energy of the mana of the spirit of the island and of the, you know, of the gods. And what it did is it created waves so that none of the smaller boats taking the passengers could get to the island. And you know, these are things that are very, very real. And it was their focused thought, their prayer, and their desire to protect their island. But it was done with love. It wasn't done with malice. And so when we pray for the people in Japan, and when we pray for it's great to be an activist, but there is greatest strength in sending love, in sending forgiveness, and being focused in our message, and in joining with other people with focused intention. And that's how true miracles happen, and that's how we can change the course that we're now headed on. Not by fearing it, but by loving our planet, and by sending love to each other, and forgiveness and compassion to each other. We are getting close to the end of the hour. I want to thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, for calling, and thank you, listeners. I welcome your emails at Deborah@soul-odyssey.com. I am on Twitter. For those of you who are interested in writing, I now have two Twitter accounts. One is Mystic Deborah, and you can follow me on Mystic Deborah, but I also have one called Spiritual Agent, where I give advice on how to navigate through the mysteries of the publishing industry. And very soon we will do another show on that topic. So you can also look me up on www.soul-odyssey.com. Do let me know if there are any particular topics or guests that you would like to see on the here. Although, you know, I slipped. Sometime in the future I will be doing a live video feed. and you will get to see the cards and you will get to see my smiling face. Thank you very much for joining me. This is Deborah Herman, your host, and this is Soul Odyssey Radio. Good night, and God bless.